All right, and welcome to the brand new Razzcast, and coming to you live from... No, actually, I'm not live. I almost gave false information. I feel like I've done this before. Like, this is a repeat.
Yeah, this is an old joke.
I don't think it's a joke. I think it's just I'm really stupid. So, we're not live. We could be live, but we're not. We're not gonna use the powers of radio to do that. Matt already gave it away, by the way, that he's here with us. So thanks for that, Matt.
We are on episode 23.
Thanks. That was my next question. Zach is here with us. How you doing, Zach?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Well, it's Friday, so we're doing good. I think so. And not only that, but we also have T-Hole again. This is like 3 weeks in a row. I feel blessed, as always. But even more so with T-Hole. How are you, sir?
Thank you. I'm doing well. It should be routine every Friday. It's on.
I would do Friday. Calls. I feel a little drained from the week, and I'm not giving, you know, my 110% energy. I'm giving, like, I think 40% energy. Like, I just finished eating dinner. I already got a beer open. Cool thing, it's actually Coco Brown. Fun thing is, I used to drink that a bunch when I go to Hawaii. But the bodega here, I mean, they call it a mini store because I'm not New York, but it's a little store. But I call it a bodega just because that's what it is. But they sometimes get it every couple years, so I went. And they email me when they get it in, and I go down there and I buy like 6 crates, and so it's ridiculous. People watching me taking out 6 crates of beer, and the fun thing is it's a bodega, right? So I'm like, I live 3 blocks away, so it doesn't make sense for me to actually, you know, drive there. So I'm just like, I take my, you know, my little, what do you call those? The forklift things on wheels? What do you call those things? It's escaping right.
Dolly?
Yeah, dolly. I just bring my dolly over, and I bring over like three big boxes of beer. I'm just trailing home.
Damn, have you called
home.
This company? I mean, can you order the product direct? I mean, have you looked into
it? Well, the thing is, it's in Hawaii, so like the shipping fees and everything will just kill me. And so it's just easier when you go through a vendor like them who buy it in bulk. And they only do it, like, they do it seasonally. So anyhow, I guess the moral of the story is drink beer and make sure it's coconut flavor, I guess. Anyhow, we have a lot to get to today. I don't know why I went on about that stupid story. But yes, T-Hole is driving, by the way, just to confirm. Are you taking a left or a right, T-Hole? Just to... World build.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was going to take a left, but now there's a trolley in the middle of the road. I feel like it's about to get hit, so I reversed. My fault. I don't know what's happening.
All right,
almost to my destination.
That's fine. We are going to talk about your boy, T-Hole, right off the bat, Brock Osweiler. He has been traded to the Browns, and I kind of like this trade. It was him to the Browns for salary, basically. But so this is... I feel like this is sort of like Lady and the Tramp. You guys know Lady and the Tramp, right? That old classic Disney movie. I'm sure everyone knows that. I feel like these two were meant for each other, and it's like Lady and the Tramp, except like if Lady and the Tramp were dumpster fires. You know, it's like two dumpster fires meeting in the alleyway on fire, and they're like, hey, could you put me out? And the other dumpster's like, yeah, I'll put you out if you put me out. And they kind of try to put each other out. And it could like turn out nice. It could turn out well, but according to physics, I think it would just make one bigger dumpster fire, and I think that's what the Browns are kind of risking here. I have the best metaphors today, by the way. This is your Friday version. But T-Hole, your gut shot analysis on this trade and how you feel about what's going to happen with Osweiler. Does he have any relevance after this? Is he just garbage?
You know, I think there would still be. I read some pretty interesting articles about it. I kind of was like all over the place with it. On one hand, I was excited to see a trade like this happen because this is kind of like in the NBA. Like, you know, a couple of years ago, people were like selling. You could like buy a late first round pick for $1 million, $2 million. I mean, you could do basically whatever you want. You can make trades just to like sell it for salary cap purposes, which the NFL is not. This is the first one really kind of its kind, so it's pretty cool. It still seems like a lot of money, as I look at it, to basically pay for a second-round pick. It seems like a lot of money, unless you can... Because I don't see how you can get much for Osweiler, although somebody might be interested still in a backup quarterback. I mean, he wasn't... He still would probably be an average backup. I mean, I'd really have to see...
And they released RG3 today, too, I believe. I read that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if they're going to end up keeping him, what they're going to do. So, I mean, I did read somebody say they might try to flip him if they eat another. So, if they eat half his salary and then trade him for, like, a late-round pick or something like that, so then that would mean they would get another kind of late pick and save half the money people are saying they wasted on this move. But overall, I mean, I guess I'm down with them getting another pick. I kind of was of thought of, like, why not, you know, overpay some kind of young and up-and-coming players that might fit your system, or add it on top to an overpay of a star. That would be kind of my thought, as they are so overloaded with picks. But I'll stop rambling about it now, because I don't even know if I answered the question. I don't even know what it was.
I think you did. Technically, you did. I mean, I zoned out midway point, but it should be noted that Danny Amendola, Danny Amendola's twin brother, Kenny Britt, has signed with Cleveland as well. His tweet said, "Why not Cleveland? Why not go somewhere to make a change and start something new?" Only except Cleveland has been trying to start something new for the past 15 years. So, Matt and Zach, I want to get your guys' take on this, kind of from. I think we're paying attention to the Osweiler side, but this on paper, I make fun of it, but on paper it seems like a pretty savvy move by the Browns to try to get something out of nothing, you know?
Oh yeah, they have all the cap space in the world, and they basically just are gonna eat Osweiler's contract, and they might end up even cutting him from what I read yesterday. They have 3 picks in the top 30 or in the first 33. They have 4 picks in the first 2 rounds. The Browns generally are not very good at drafting, so that could be problematic, but it's a good start in building towards something. I mean, to have 4 picks in the top 50. So yeah, very savvy move by the Browns, and good on the Texans for dumping all of that cap space off.
Zach, what's your, like, analysis on Osweiler? Like, what did you see from him last season that you think maybe confirms that he might not be so good? Or what did you see last year that might be maybe he just suffered from a bad game plan? Maybe it's coaching. Like, what do you see from him going into next season?
I don't think it's anything to do with the system as much as it is just Osweiler. Whenever I would write my start and sit pieces, I would always really, like, get into the matchup, because Osweiler was one of those quarterbacks that you just couldn't start if it's even like a mediocre matchup. It has to be like the best matchup of the week. They have to play against one of the worst teams for Osweiler to be in streaming contention. And I still think this kind of doesn't really change much. It's good that they have Kenny Britt. Terrell Pryor is certainly a talented wideout, but they had DeAndre Hopkins this year, and they didn't really do much. You know, Osweiler didn't really do much anything with it. So I still think he's just like a streaming option at best.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead, Matt. No, go ahead.
Yeah, Terrell Pryor is now a Washington Redskins.
Oh, I completely forgot about that. That's my fault.
Well, I mean, it just happened. So, it was actually on tonight's news when I was watching, and I was like, oh, okay. Let's actually jump into that. I know we have a lot to tackle today, because I want to talk about the final episodes of the OA, the newest trailer. It isn't really even a trailer for Game of Thrones. It's just kind of a teaser they put together to remind us of how far away it still is. But before that, there is some other free agent stuff. We got the Pryor signing, and this is important not because Terrell Pryor. I mean, it's a nice pickup. But I wouldn't say it's a bit. What I'm trying to say is it's like it's bigger news that Washington really has no receivers. I mean, technically they have Pryor now, but it's just been kind of a weird offseason for them. They recently fired their GM. Apparently, it's alcohol related. So. I don't know if it's personal like that. I who knows if it's, you know, it's a reason, an excuse to fire him because of other reasons, or, you know, that's the reason, but whatever. On personnel wise, Kirk Cousins recently signed his franchise tender, which means he can be traded now. They're of course still working on the contract, but, unless your name is Albert Haynesworth, you're probably not going to get a good contract with Snyder. So I don't know what, I'll be honest, Washington surprised me as a playoff contender last season. I fit them in the bowl with the Falcons. Like, I didn't really expect either team to be that good, but they just kind of ended up in the playoffs. And then, of course, we know what happened to the Falcons. But Washington might have actually been able to build on that. But what do you guys think about where their franchise is now? It seems like they're lost in the mud again. I just don't know how else to describe it.
Well, with the wide receivers, they're kind of replaced DeSean Jackson. Not the same skill set, but kind of the same talent level.
Right, DeSean signed with your Bucks, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, we'll get to that. I definitely.
Oh, we will. Yes, that. We will. Okay.
I'm not leaving this podcast without talking about that. But
well,
Jameson.
Well, I mean, is the hot take based on the fact they are? Wait, are you Crips or Bloods? Because that'll illuminate what you have to say about DeSean Jackson. So,
oh, I'm a Blood now.
Okay, yeah, this is going to be interesting. All right, let's. Yeah, on Washington though.
Yeah. So Jameson Crowder is a good talent, and didn't they take a wide receiver in the first round last year? Maybe get him on the field a little bit. I forgot his name.
Jameson. No, not Jameson Crowder. I'm sorry. He played from TCU. Josh Dotson.
Yeah, and they still have Jordan Reed, so I they're not totally falling apart, and I could see that Kirk Cousins and Terrell Pryor being able to work together well, maybe. So it's not like a complete loss, I don't think, but they definitely lost some pieces on the defense side of the ball.
And Zach, there are rumors that Cousins, I hate to say that he's going to be the reason if Washington's successful next season, but it's just true. I mean, you need a quarterback. I don't know what other options they have. We have a whole bunch of Colt McCoy jokes in store, or at least I do, on standby. But with Cousins, it's rumored that he might go to the 49ers. I'm sure there are other teams. Maybe the Browns are still interested. What's your take on Cousins? Does he stay? Does he go? Does he sign a long-term contract? Does he go to the 49ers? Does he go to an obvious team in need?
I think he stays, but I don't think it's by choice, because I think what Snyder said was that they're not going to let him go. If he does leave, then I would assume he goes to San Francisco, unless San Francisco makes more deals to get more quarterbacks. I know they got the guy who Matt Barkley, I believe, but he might just be a backup. But yeah, no, I think Kirk Cousins is a – I think us – and our thoughts about him going into this season, I think, is the same about last season. He's definitely an NFL caliber quarterback. There's no doubting that. And I think he's a borderline top 12 option.
Yeah. I mean, I would put him in the Andy Dalton range, right? Yeah. I like put him in the Dalton range, right? I mean, that's kind of where I see. Yeah. Like a Dalton light, maybe. I don't know. Of course, let's make no mistake. Dalton has much better weapons. I mean, you could sort of make an argument that Jackson and Garcon are just as good, but they don't have the consistency in terms of health. Like, when were they on the field at the same time last year? It was not often. Teal, I'm going to give you the fun one. Tony Romo, this is kind of the elephant in the room. Nobody really knows what's going to happen there. So I'm gonna ask you, man, what do you foresee? I know the easy answer is maybe the Broncos, the Browns, you know, just a whole bunch of teams. But what's your feel on this, man?
My feel after just replaying what I was going to say over and over and over and over again about the Red Sox situation, because it's so crazy with McClure.
Oh, please. I want your input on that,
there,
too.
There's no need. You guys touched on it all. I kind of like the web. If Dotson kind of steps as the guy that everyone they think with Crowder, and then I'm as big a Pryor fan as there is, obviously. So, I mean, you know, they re-signed Vernon Davis. Reed's coming back. I mean, if they can get – I don't love that running back, though. But if they can do that, the offense should maybe be okay. That I think you mentioned the defense is still the problem there, and I don't see how they've really improved it. So maybe they hammer that in the draft. But anyway – I don't know. I think it's got to be – it looks more like Houston now, because in the Houston or Denver, like everybody says, like, I mean, it just makes the most sense. I don't know where else we can go with them right now. Chicago at one point I thought might be kind of cool because they had the veteran coach. I didn't think they were really that far away. I thought they had a pretty good defense. I thought they just had some really bad injury luck the last couple of years. But that they just signed Glennon, so that's a no-go. I'd be Denver or Houston. I wish it was Denver as a fan. If I was Denver, I just all last year I could not help myself. Every single day I'm going on and on and on. I'm like, why is Denver not getting like a legit quarterback? Like, I was screaming for them to trade for Glennon last year or to trade for just anybody. Like, I mean, I don't see how you can't make some kind of move to make that happen. I feel like they're wasting seasons. I feel like they have elite Super Bowl talent. I know the run D fell off a little last year in the O-line struggle, but I mean, the quarterback is scaring nobody. I mean, it's just, I don't understand what they're doing. They have two elite receivers. They have the best secondary, arguably of all time, in their prime right now. What's going on? They've got great pass rushers. I mean, let's figure this out. You bring in the quarterback, it's a Super Bowl team. I mean, like, why are we not doing this? Make it happen. Romo is the answer.
Right, and one thing you did mention, which I'm sure is everyone on everyone's mind, including my own, is that that is probably one of the weakest divisions in football the last few years, at least in maybe the NFC South. I don't know. What do you guys? It's tough. Like, I think both South divisions are pretty terrible, but
talking about Houston?
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Colts. I'm talking about Houston. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good fit there too. I mean, another good defense. They do have DeAndre Hopkins. They figure out Fuller and a couple of, I mean, he'd probably be fine there. I mean, it could be better. They probably have a better offensive line at the moment. We will see. It's still in Texas, but I was a Broncos fan at one point, and I still feel some connection to them as they know the Suns tool owner a little bit. So, I mean, that's about it.
Yeah, Broncos make two. Broncos make a lot of sense. I think it depends on if Romo just wants to stay close to home. If that's the case, and it's Houston, I don't see him changing. I mean, I just don't know why the guy still wants to play, but that's between him and his. Okay, let's talk about some of the, well, I wouldn't say smaller moves, but let's talk about Alshon Jeffrey. He's going to the Eagles. I like this for Carson Wentz just because where he is in his career, it's nice to have a vacuum cleaner out there you can just chuck it to. A lot of elite quarterbacks in the league depend on their wide receivers bailing him out. I mean, this is the story of Eli Manning, who actually I wouldn't refer to as elite, but point still remains. With Alshon Jeffrey, I don't know, what are you guys thinking? Like, let's kind of turn on the fantasy knob a little bit. I have the knob right here on my desk. I actually don't have a knob. But, like, what does this do for Alshon Jeffrey's value? What does this do for Carson Wentz's value, guys?
I think Carson Wentz's value goes up a little bit, especially because, you know, Torrey Smith is also an Eagle. So you have, you know, Torrey Smith, Jordan Matthews, and Alshon, and Zach Ertz, and Nelson Aguilar. He's still very young in his career. And these are reliable wideouts to have. And I think this puts Wentz close to the top 12 conversation. And as we saw at the beginning of last year, even though it dropped off towards the end of the year, Wentz can be a very good quarterback. And I think this just kind of solidifies the argument that he is, as of this year, a correct choice for the Eagles.
Yeah. Really quick, I just want to say, top 12, I think, is where he can be, but
yeah.
I don't think he's starting out that way. I'm sure that's what you meant, though. Yeah. Matt, on Alshon Jeffrey, I just want to say, where would you be comfortable taking him next year in the draft? Like, third round, fourth round? Like, what are you thinking right now?
I have him right around 31, I think, when I did my top 100.
That's right.
I think is being released next week.
Right.
I have him at 31. So, I mean, in shallow leagues at the beginning of the third round.
Mark your calendars.
Yeah, mark your calendars twice because Matt and Zach have been working on the top 100s themselves. So they're going to be coming out with that soon. Really exciting stuff. Thanks for giving it away. It was going to be a surprise, but Matt ruined it for everyone. But yeah, 31, yeah, that's like,
sorry. Come on, man.
That's like the end of round two, right? Is that, am I doing
that? Yeah, about the end of round
two. Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
That's pretty high.
I'm counting on him to stay healthy, but I definitely like him with an actual quarterback. Nothing against Jay Cutler, though. I, as far as I've seen, the Eagles haven't done anything to solidify their cornerback position at all. So Carson Wentz is going to have to chuck it over and over and over. So, and when Alshon is on the field, he's putting up numbers. So if he plays 14 to 16 games next year, I can see that value definitely paying off.
Okay. Just to, I think that's most of, well, let's talk about,
can I say something about Alshon Jeffery really quick?
Of course, man. What's up?
I think this is even more interesting for now the Chicago Bears, because who's left in their wide receiver core? I mean, you have Cameron Meredith, Zach Miller, and then Kevin White might come back. Like, he's been very injury prone, and it's really depleted. And who's their quarterback now that Matt Barkley and Brian Hoyer are both leaving, if not have already left? Like, this is just a messy situation. I don't know if I want any piece of the Chicago offense next year.
Jordan Howard, for sure.
Besides Jordan Howard, of course. Even now, he's the workhorse back.
They signed the guy from Marcus Wheaton. They signed him.
I forgot about that. Yeah. But still, though, it's very thin.
Yeah,
as a Trump disciple, why are you asking for permission to speak on something? You take what you want. Trump,
yeah, you
take what you want. You grab Jay by the whatever.
Yeah, you gotta be alpha, man. yeah, what an orange bloated pussy that guy is. Okay, so I go through these stages of like, it's weird, like during the day I'll watch news. It's hard not to watch news because I live in DC, so it's hard not to run into it. So it's weird, like I go in weird emotional cycles. Like I'll be just watching something about, you know, the Cheeto fuckhead, and I'll be like, man, this is really, like, I'll be angry, and then I'll be sad. I'll be sad for, like, the people this is hurting. And then I'll be happy because I realize the people he's hurting are mostly Trump voters. Like, it's incredible. Like, I think I had this realization the other day when I was looking at his tax plan that they're proposing, and it would actually save me, I think it was, like, $5,000 a year. And I was just like, holy shit. He, like, basically took a sort of, you know, above-income earner, blue state, Hillary Clinton supporter, and rewarded me. And I'm looking at what he's doing to everyone else, and he's basically destroying his own voting base, and they don't even know. It's kind of irony at its best sometimes, and then I sort of feel sorry for them, but I don't. It's one of those weird, like, juxtapositions. Like, I can't emotionally compute how I should feel. Like, should I feel sorry? Should I feel happy? It's a wild roller coaster of emotions, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, I'll always be angry at this guy, and I'll always be angry at the people who voted for him. Like, deep down, I'll just harbor this anger because I feel like anybody voted for him, they may not be, like, racist, or they may not be, you know, hateful people, but the truth of the matter is that they didn't do their own research to figure out what was going on, and we have this, like, we essentially have a traitor in the White House at the moment. Like, and it's hard to find people who didn't have contact with Russia to sway the election. I mean, it's getting to the point, and then the living in this post-fact world is really weird. Like, I don't understand how facts could be so antithesis to what our goal is as a human race. Like, I feel like our meaning is to find answers to the unanswerable, just as sort of like a meta level, just because, you know, we're the only living beings blessed with this high consciousness. I mean, we're getting into the woods here, but I'm just saying, it's just, like, you can hear it in my voice. I have no idea how to feel about stuff that I'm looking into, and I get the brunt of it just because I'm in DC, like I said, and so it's just I'm in this weird place. So I don't know. Does that count as a I think that's T-Hole's fault for bringing up politics, but let's quickly talk about Danny Woodhead going to the Ravens. I only talk about him because he was, like, one of my favorite players. Even on the Patriots, I love the guy. Obviously on the Chargers, he was injured a few times, but he still proved his worth. I still like him on the Ravens. I still like him as a high-tier PPR pick to bring fantasy into it, just because, you know, Flacco, man, him and the checkdowns, like, him and Alex Smith have a bet, I think, every year to see who can do the most checkdowns. So I think this is good. Like, in PPR leagues, whenever I do PPR rankings, people always are, like, weirded out how high I rank Danny Woodhead, and I try to explain to them, like, in PPR leagues, he is essentially a top, I would say, 15 running back. when he's healthy, right? Like, so my question to you guys is, what do you see going to the with him going to the Ravens? Yeah, you guys, I guess I basically answered the most general question, but I don't know. Did you guys have a take on this?
I think you summed it up pretty well. I just have to say I'm pretty devastated because one of my favorite running backs, Kenneth Dixon, is suspended the first four games of was it PEDs or something different?
Yeah, it's PEDs.
Yeah, so that's kind of depressing, and he's a really talented back, so I hope he makes it back. But yeah, I think you summed it up perfectly. Danny Woodhead's an absolute pass-catching monster, and Joe Flacco loves the checkdowns.
All right.
Does this mean the fantasy nuts will shut up about Dixon for like 5 minutes of my time? I mean, every week I need to bump this guy 30 spots up the rankings just
yeah, I mean,
the people that are harassing me about it because like he's I'm supposed to be told he's this legend. I'm still waiting for it. Now he's suspended. Now they have Woodhead.
I feel like
he's getting still time behind Terrence West, which is sad because it's Terrence West.
Well, I feel like he's sort of like the CJ Spiller of this 5 year span. Like remember like 3 or 4 years ago CJ Spiller, like you couldn't get away from him. Like he was everyone's but you know that's we all know how that turned out.
But at least Spiller like did something at one point in his life. I don't know what Dixon.
Yeah, was yeah, what's he had going one on. Good season.
All right, and so, oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say that season was so good that I remember taking that mofo number one or number two or something overall. CJ Spiller was so nasty that I took him like number two overall in the draft. That's how good he was that 1 year. It's really sad that he. Especially going to the Saints where they had Drew Brees, you thought it was a perfect fit. I mean, it was just injuries or whatever. But, yeah, he just lost whatever he once had. Too bad.
All right. I'm going to give – go ahead, Bo. I was actually going to give you the last word. So what is the last Bowie. Word?
No, I just said sad.
Okay. Exclamation point.
Donald
okay.
Trump sad?
Yeah.
Like, sad.
Yeah.
Like,
sad. Three exclamation sad. Points.
I think it needs to be more forceful. Like, I always read it in Twitter as yelling. But you're right, it is Bowie too. I kind of messed that one up too. Okay, so the last football nugget, because I like chicken nuggets. Martellus Bennett signed with the Packers. I am kind of intrigued just because Packers never use tight ends, but I feel like they should. And even though Bennett, I don't know if he's your prototypical offensive tight end, but he definitely could fit that role.
Did you see what Aaron Rodgers tweeted out?
What did he tweet out?
He tweeted out "relax," like all spelled out, like how he did it at his press conference a few years back.
Yeah, I'm
like
was
as soon as the news broke that Martellus Bennett was joining the Packers, he was like "relax," like.
So he's already thrown shade on it. Okay, so Matt, anything here? Like, should we pay attention to this, or should we just is it status quo? Is it the Packers are just going to ignore the tight end position another year?
No, I mean, you saw it last year in the playoffs. Jared Cook definitely started to eat when
yeah,
he was
but
healthy.
That don't help my fantasy team, man.
Well, I mean, if this carries over to the regular season,
that's
especially
true.
Since Randall Cobb's kind of a bum, except for the one good game he had in the playoffs, you got Devontae Adams, Jordy Nelson, and then Martellus Bennett, it looks like. So,
all right.
I mean,
yeah, no, I can see it. I just, you know, I want to jump on that bandwagon, but they've had like intriguing tight ends before. Like, I think what was it JerMichael Finley or was that like I sort of had high hopes for him back in the day, and I was just like, man, that was stupid of me. And I don't know, I can't think of, there were a few others. I think Jared Cook is a good sign for sure, but I think there was one before Finley. I can't remember, but anyhow. It's the Packers, so there'll be plenty of time to talk about them. So that's
are
kind
you,
of it.
Was it Tom Crabtree?
Are you gonna let me talk about DeSean Jackson?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Let's okay, so we got the Buccaneers. They signed DeSean Jackson. Have they done anything else? And then you can go into your rant.
Oh yeah, they signed a defensive lineman, not really fantasy relevant. They re-signed Chris Conte, and I bashed my head into it repeatedly.
Yeah. Chris Conte, and yeah, nice.
Yeah, he's pretty awful. That's yeah. The needs rebuilt quite a bit.
They should also sign D'Angelo Williams to have the shittiest backfield ever. But yeah.
Wait, the Bucs signed D'Angelo Williams?
No, I'm just saying they should just to have. There's one other guy that's terribly overrated. I forget his name though. He's a shit talker. You know, on the Titans. What's his name?
DeMarco Murray.
No, no, the corner, the cornerback.
Cordigan or
yeah, Cortland Finnegan. Yeah. Oh my god. Oh, they would just murder each other.
I think he retired like 2 years ago.
Oh, did he? Damn.
No, he's still in the league. Okay.
Oh, is he?
Because
really?
When Andre Johnson got signed with the Titans, they were like, oh, Finnegan and Johnson are on the same team.
All right, Zach, this is your official job title next season. Anytime that Finnegan gets, like, hit on the field and it looks good, I want you to text me.
Tweet it out.
Yeah, just text me. Just between you and me, man. This is you and me. Yeah, but Matt, what's the deal with Deshaun?
Okay, this does nothing really one way or the other for Deshaun Jackson's fantasy value, but I think it raises Jameis Winston's fantasy value quite a bit because he struggled throwing downfield because he's not a very accurate downfield passer, and it's going to be really nice for him to have someone with some speed who can maybe catch up with the balls that he overthrows a little bit. And the Buccaneers correct me if I'm wrong, Zach, but I don't think they scored a passing touchdown over 50 yards last year.
Because it was Mike Evans, but Vincent Jackson was like a ghost.
Yeah, exactly, and he needed this so much, and he's going into his third season, so he should have his, normal progression going from a second year to a third year quarterback. So, yeah, this is kind of a really big deal for Jameis for fantasy purposes. Anyone who has him outside of their top 10 quarterbacks, I think, is crazy.
I could not agree more with that analysis.
I would just add, like, if you're overthrowing Deshaun Jackson, then something is definitely wrong with your quarterback.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Right, it's really hard to do. Okay, so let's really that's it for football stuff. I was actually surprised that we had so much football news to deal with, but the of course the Osweiler trade is what kind of forced my hand of doing a podcast only because this is easier than writing about it. So haha. It actually isn't. It's actually easier to write about it, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. One more thing. I forgot. I Googled it when you asked me his gang affiliation. I totally forgot he was a Crip.
Yeah, I don't know. I forget which one he was with, but whatever.
I Googled it. It's Crip.
Hide your kids.
I'm a Crip.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't... Like, Tio, aren't you a Blood? I just feel like this is going to lead to some trouble.
We come together. So,
yeah, just joking. Seattle doesn't have gangs; they just have Russians and police brutality. But okay. So, and plus, T holes. You're not even in Seattle. You're in. You're still in New Orleans, right?
Oh yeah, I'm down in the 504 on the a lot of these blocks. You may have heard about in a lot of
True Detective
records. Yeah. Lil Wayne, yeah. You know, yeah. Holly Grove.
Harry Connick Jr., yeah, the greats. Yes. Okay, so we have the OA to talk about. So last time we left off, I was only through the first half of the season, and boy, do half of a season's make... I was going to say how different they were, and that sentence kind of just fell into it, to itself. But so I want to hold back. I know... the podcast, I always kind of suck up all the air, like leading into the subject, because I enjoy my hot takes, as sure do all of our listeners. But I want to reserve what I feel, because I feel like you guys have been sitting on this a lot longer than I have. I kind of had to catch up, so I kind of wanted. Oh, by the way, Zach, you haven't watched the show yet, right?
Nope.
All right, get out of here, man. You have an early night. You have a great day.
All right.
Yeah. Do you want me to?
You have to be 18 years old.
Right.
Do you?
I want you to watch it. Yeah. Wait. Like right now. Go and start watching it. We'll wait for you.
You want me to leave? Like, do you want me to like leave this podcast? Like,
I mean, you don't have to leave. I mean, if you want to leave, it's up to you.
It'd be better for dramatic effect if you just left, though.
Would it? I mean, I don't have any sound effects. I don't have any out music.
You could find one.
I guess I could. I mean, you guys can't hear it, but
I can. If you want,
Zach, tell me how you feel, man.
This cool story.
Like,
yeah, if you want me, I can tell my funny story about T-Hole, and then I can like put my Twitter, and then I can leave and leave you guys to the OA.
Okay, let's go ahead and do that then. I mean, Zach, I don't want you to feel. Now I feel bad because I feel like you think I'm kicking you out, or I'm just.
No.
I'm just saying, like, we're about to talk about something that may ruin a show for you, and
later, bro.
Yeah, so But yeah, what's your funny story? Like, is it actually right. funny, or I'm just kidding.
I mean, I think it's pretty funny. It involves T-hole, so it's definitely content.
Well, then I want to hear. So let's go.
All right, so I'm sitting in my old physics class at my school, right? And I'm talking to one of my friends, and he wrote like this analysis English paper on the rapper Young Thug. And so,
Getting into an argument.
Wait, is that a real
and
dude?
So he kind of wrote this. My friend's a big goofball. Like, I don't think he's really serious.
Right, but I mean, wait. Is Young Thug actually a thing?
Is yeah, that, yeah, he's
this
a
guy's
rapper.
Real? This is a real rapper?
Yes, very much so. His name is Young Thug.
Well, I'm out of it. I'm still getting used to Drake and his, learning his, personal problems and kind of making them my own. Young Thug. I'm actually Googling, so go ahead. I wanna see what.
So I'm sitting in class and I'm just giggling like a schoolgirl at an X-rated movie because his analysis paper is absolutely hilarious. He's talking about how this rapper who kind of like mumbles his way through a nice beat is evolving.
Wait, let me put some on. You guys can't hear, but let me put some Young Thug on for the people.
All right.
Okay, I'm listening to Wyclef Jean. Well, everyone is except you guys. This doesn't.
Yeah, I don't really listen to Young Thug.
Yeah, you can go and continue your story while this is playing in the background. It gives a little environment to get a little flavor.
All right, so I'm just laughing my butt off, and I take a photo of it and I put it on my Snapchat story for all my friends who go to my school and know the kid who wrote the essay. But what I also forgot was that T-Hole follows me on Snapchat. So out of the blue, I get an alert from Twitter from Betting Nine Fingers that says at oh you have one too. Do your parents know you're listening to Young Thug? So I'm sitting in class and I tell my friends, oh that's weird. A guy who I write with just randomly tweeted at me, do your parents know you're listening to Young Thug? Right in the middle of my conversation. And I'm not kidding you, it took me like 5 hours to put two and two together to realize that T-Hole knew that because he was reading my Snapchat. So I'm continuing my conversation with my friends, and I respond to T-Hole and I say, no, I don't really listen to Young Thug, should I start? And I told my friends, I said, the funny thing about the guy that I write with is that he's not gonna get back to me. He's gonna tweet at me randomly out of the blue, asking me if I listen to Young Thug, and then he's never ever going to respond. So then like 5 hours later, he doesn't respond to the tweet, but then I see that on my Snapchat that T-Hole like saw the photo that I took of it, and I tweeted at him, oh, I didn't know that you knew about my paper until you followed me on Snapchat. That was my friend, not me. And then I just see one like by Bedick Nine Fingers at Lord Bedick One or Lord Bedick. And it was, I guess he just had to be there. It was one of the funniest aha moments
I've
ever had in my
entire life. That's a story I'm going to be telling my grandchildren's grandchildren.
Exactly.
And to wrap things up, I just got a notification saying that the Patriots are going to trade for Brandon Cooks.
Okay.
They are.
What are they giving up?
It looks like their first round pick number 32, and possibly other picks/players.
Okay. So they're keeping Malcolm Butler?
It looks like it, which I think is a huge sigh of relief because that man legitimately saved my life.
All right.
My friend and me were
That's
just
a story
texting
for another
about
time.
That. Like, the Patriots should try, instead of doing Butler, should try to find a way to do the first round or whatever to get Cooks and then keep Butler or whatever. And now it actually happened. Oh, God, I hate the Patriots.
All right, so.
Tony Healy, who I'm obsessed with, I hate New England. I hate them. They're so smart.
I think it's a good trade for both teams. Because I don't think the Saints are going anywhere next year. So that's it, Zach. I did play Young Thug. I didn't quite hear much talent there. It sounds like what some like streamer edgy kid would play to his audience. But yeah, a lot of autotune there. A lot of young Dennis Rodman as well. But whatever. whatever the kids like. I'm getting too old. I feel
me,
like
me and T Hole fight about Young Thug all the time.
Do you guys? Do you guys like him?
I love him. T Hole really? Hates him.
Oh, okay. I think T Hole has a point here. But I've only listened to one song, so. But yeah, Zach,
I love this dude, and I never really understood why. Because I mean, quite honestly, I never listened to it. But I just like, I was too judgmental because he was like this dude who got famous, and he was like really like weird, and he, you know, he wears women's stuff, which I got no problem with. But it's like seemed like he's almost like more of like his whole style or whatever is how he got famous to me. Although people say he's really talented. I mean, he said what did people
super used to question talented. Him
because. He'd call smoking blunts, he'd say really? Smoking penises, and people okay. were like, what? And I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't see much talent there. Maybe I'm just, I don't know. I don't do this stuff for a living, so it's hard for me to analyze it correctly. Maybe if he was Danny Woodhead, I might have an easier time. So, Zach, I think that's it for you, unless you want to stay. I want to make sure that Open Tation's out so you don't feel bad.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I can, you want me to plug my Twitter and...
No, you can't even plug your Twitter. Yeah, what's your Twitter? Give me your Twitter.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at OUHaveOneToo. And finally, really quick before I go, it just got released that Pats acquire Brandon Cooks and a fourth-round pick from the Saints for a first and a third.
Wow, so they even got a fourth-round pick. Huh. Interesting.
Interesting.
All right, thank you guys very much for listening to my crazy T-hole and young
No, you're good. We got breaking news. Yeah, so... Yeah, number 32 and number 103 to the Saints for Cooks and their number 118. Okay, so here's the thing really quick. Let's talk about this really quick before we get to OA since this just happened. I don't get the fourth round pick. I don't think the Saints need to do that. I think that's kind of the Patriots' way of saying we fucked you over in the trade. Because, like, on paper... It's like, oh, okay, third, fourth, third is better. But they're only 15 picks apart. And once you get past the third round, like that 15 picks, that big window there, it's actually really small talent-wise. So they basically – I would say that the Patriots basically traded number 32 for Brandon Cooks, like clean, which seems like – oh. It still feels like an okay deal for Saints. I mean, I know Cooks is very talented, but...
I'm very excited, because he's very,
well, of
very,
course you're excited. Young. Yeah, we know you're excited. That's... Yeah, we get it, man. Anyhow...
I thought Zach was gone. What the...
Yeah, well, this Patriots thing's happened, so he's, you know... okay, so regardless, let's go ahead and talk away. Is Zach
talk
leaving?
Away or
we
talk
can't...
away?
There he goes. I didn't want to ruin the show for him because maybe like 10 years from now when he's bored in college or something, he'll want to watch it.
10 years in college.
Yeah, along with Amelie or something. That was my big college movie back when I was in college. Amelie was the thing. All the odd chicks love that movie, so you had to kind of watch it on all the dates. Anyhow, I had an interest in college, by the way. So let's talk away. I want to get your guys' take on it because you guys have been waiting the longest, so... just your general thoughts. I'll kind of, you know, fill in the gaps. That's what she said. Anyhow, let's go with Matt. I know you've been kind of dying to talk about this with us. Your take, the story, the characters, the ending, just whatever you want to talk about, man. It's all you.
I think, like I said last time, like the ending is really frustrating and it leaves a lot of open ends. Season two should be able to tie up the ending together and who she actually is, what's actually true about the story that she tells, what she had to do with the school shooting at all. I mean, it kind of explained it a little bit, but yeah, the hand movements, that whole thing was really, that was really confusing. I don't understand it.
Well, but, yeah, they're just called movements. I don't think they're called hand movements. I think we have to be a little eccentric about it. They're called just movements, like their music, maybe. So.
Yeah, that was a little out there, but, I mean, shoot your shot. So, but, yeah, I'm interested to see what you two have to say about it.
Oh, T-Hole, what you think, man?
About the finale?
Yeah, just about the ending in general. The last four episodes were basically the ending, so...
I was... I gotta say, I was majorly like disheartened there for a few, for a bit. I was like, oh wait, what? No, she's crazy. Because like, I'm like, what is going on? Because, but there's no explanation, right? You know, for the getting the eyesight back, doing whatever, like all those things. And I guess it leaves it for season two to complete that. But yeah, I mean, then they do the little dance thing they learned or whatever, which is cool. And then it just like serves as more of like the guys are just so dumbfounded because it's so weird that they don't do anything that seems kind of dumb yet sort of cool. But I don't really know how to describe it, man. I was very disheartened for a short period of time. The very end kind of lifted me back a little bit. We shall see. I will definitely be tuning into season two, though. I don't think they want to disappoint.
Yeah, here's the thing. So maybe it's fresher in my mind, but you know, sure. I remember yeah, right. I remember that the first four episodes I was kind of hailing it for being sort of pompous in the way its writing was, sort of, you know, daring the viewer to stick with it, to kind of go down the rabbit hole, and I was kind of enjoying the ride. Let me first preface by saying I am interested to see season two. The other question people would ask is like, would you recommend this to friends? And I probably wouldn't, just because I still enjoy the show. I enjoy the last four episodes, but here's the thing that I could get past it. I did get past it, but you know, the dancing and the movements, I thought it was kind of cool. It was kind of very tribal, very, I don't know how you describe it. It's kind of, you know, it reminded me of the scenes, like, you see documentaries when you see, like, Native Americans or you know, these indigenous populations in South America stuff, you know, and they have this really interesting relationship with nature, and they use dance, they use sound, they use movement and music and whatever else they do to kind of interact with that side. And I enjoyed kind of seeing a show use that process in this manner, but... I think we just lost T-Hole. What else is new? I think that broke my thought.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you not read any of those books? Like, did you see it? Did you not see it coming?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're familiar narratives. I think I discussed this. Most of those books I have read. The only thing is, I think I was more... It's interesting because I felt like that moment was supposed to mean a lot more to me, but I was just so distracted by the fact that the FBI agent was there. I forget his name, but he was in Nightcrawlers, and he was a wonderful actor there. And we got T-Hole back. T-Hole, you back?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay, no worries. Anyhow, I was just going to say about the dancing and it's just, you know, I kind of felt uncomfortable at times because I wanted to laugh at it because it was just so, like, the noises are what did, anytime they made that, you know, noises, I was just like, get the fuck out, are you serious? And then I would try to weigh myself down and be like, okay, listen, this is a show in which Heaven was an old lady with brown on her face fishing in a pond. So I'm kind of, you know, if I'm okay with that, I got to be okay with this. So I got over it, but it was just, it kind of took away from the moments, like I was trying to enjoy the drama and everything, but anytime I'd hear the noises, I would just kind of be distracted more so than, you know, does that make sense? Like, it would distract
yeah,
me.
It was a big put off for me.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up, Matt, about the books. Cause I like that aspect. I think it's cool to kind of do callbacks to like these literary works that are, you know, I think foundations of most people's education. I think if you haven't read them, most people are familiar with them or maybe their outlines. But it was immediately kind of snatched away because as soon as, you know, the book reveal happened, I was like, wait a second, why is this FBI dude in the house in the middle of the night? Like, this is no one going to ask this question? Like, I mean, not as a knock against the show, but in my head I was just like, this is a little weird. And then I began thinking like, oh, okay, so this, you know, as I started thinking about it, I was like, okay, so he probably just planted that as sort of his way, because he obviously thinks she's crazy, so he's trying to figure out a way to kind of ground her back into reality. So the best way of doing that is exposing this story as a lie to everyone else to kind of pull her back to reality, if that makes sense. So it's definitely a thing that psychologists use in their toolkit. The only thing I'd like to say about this show before I get your guys' input on what I just said is the last thing, it didn't necessarily bother me, but I'd like to think of myself as a writer. I'm obviously not as accomplished as these wonderful people who created this show, but I gotta say, I feel like the pompousness and the obnoxious writing, which I saw as a positive, frankly, through all the episodes, I really enjoyed the fact that they were kind of doing their own thing and not caring what was the... But I just gotta ask you guys, like, about the actual ending. In my mind, if I was writing the show, I would have specifically had them dance and do their kind of resurrection thing after she had been shot. Like, it makes more sense in my mind if she's running there to do something and then the guy shoots her and then the kids jump out like, oh, we gotta do this, and then they dance and they send her into the next world instead of them doing this weird, because I think it cheapens everything about their dance, because it just, they, it came off as just a distraction to the guy with the gun. And I don't blame the guy with the gun, I don't blame the shooter, because if someone did that to me, I'll just be like, what the fuck just happened? I mean, do you guys see this? I mean, what is going on? You know? And so I think,
yeah, it like cheapens a kind of a pretty important plot point, you know?
Right. And it seems like it's an easy connection to make as a writer. Like, you're kind of building up to this big ending, and you know, one of the things you talked about, Matt, like the show is just so well put together and so well written. They kind of trap themselves into this dead end where it's like, how do we make this ending fit? And I feel like it didn't fit at all. It felt like a puzzle piece from another puzzle, and they're trying to mash it into the corner of this thing. I don't know. Are you guys, I know you're feeling me a little bit here, but I mean, do you think it's kind of arrogant of me to say this is how it should have been written?
Well, I mean, I think that they were playing for a season two right away, and I don't think they wanted to give away. I think they kind of want to give, kind of feed it to the audience slowly throughout the next season, because, yeah. I mean, there's like four or five things that need to, questions that need to be answered. I haven't watched it in like, God, what's it been, like 3 months since? So I don't remember each, but I mean, whether she's dead or alive and, you know, so on and so forth.
Well, they had that reveal at the end where she's in that, you know, white room and she says Homer, like he's right there next to her. So, I mean, but then again, who knows? I think maybe that's the issue. I think they should have written it as one season and then figured themselves out of that, you know, if they got the season two. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
So I feel like it would have been a much better show for everyone. I don't know. T-Hole, like what? How would you've written the ending, man? What is your would it involve Dominic Brown? Like,
yes. I mean the end of that show, like, I mean, that was just like totally caught me off guard, because I mean, they're going down one train and one road, and then all of a sudden there's like a school shooting, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? They're dancing in the thing, or it's all of a sudden it's not true, and then they kind of unite over the school shooter thing, which was crazy. Just made me imagine a school shooting again, which is would be crazy enough. But I don't know, I wasn't really expecting it. I mean, it's been, again, months, and I watched this show like overnight basically, and I probably would have to rewatch it to make that full assessment. But I'm a little more of the fantasy art lover, so I probably would have made something more magical happen. Oh, that's what I was saying. I was like talking and nobody said anything, and I was like, okay.
All right, so.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, we had technical difficulties. Skype failed on me. What was the last thing you guys heard from me?
I didn't hear a damn thing. It was T-Hole talking.
Okay, it was just T-Hole and then nothing?
Yeah.
Okay, so. I can't even remember what I was talking about, so this seems like a good place to end the show. I did want to talk about Game of Thrones, but there isn't really much to talk about. There was like this stupid teaser that just showed sound clips from the last few seasons, and then Kit Harington, or Jon Snow as the ladies call him, and I also call him that, but had a tweet that said that we're going to be blown away by the season. It'll be stuff that we've never, ever imagined or seen before. And I feel like that's kind of a misnomer because technically we actually haven't seen it yet. So this is true. I do want to talk about it. You guys think the wall blows up in the first half of the season or the second half?
I couldn't tell you that, but I mean the end when kind of the end of the clip when Jon Snow said that it's going to be the biggest war. I can't remember exactly what he said, but it's going to be a very big war.
Yeah. Bigly. Yeah, he said, what was it? Like all other wars never, or this is the, I don't know. It's somewhere on Facebook. I don't recommend people go to Facebook, but it's where it is right now. So I'm sure people can figure it out. T-Hole, that wall is coming down. When's it coming down, man? What episode are you calling it?
Oh, man. I mean, normal standard TV and knowing what they do. I mean, they'd probably like leave it to like the very end, you know, that type of thing. But that was actually what was so cool about, I think, most of that dude's books is actually he didn't do a ton of cliffhangers up until that one where he was stabbing dude over and over and over again. He didn't do a lot of cliffhangers, which I appreciated, especially when these chumps don't put out the next story for 5 goddamn years like they do in multiple other series I'm reading. Dudes are talking like what the fuck, isn't the story already written in these trilogies? Why must we wait 7 goddamn years? Don't you already know how it's gonna fucking end? But anyway,
no, I totally agree. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I loved how Westworld ended because even though I know it's long ways and I'm kind of pissed about that, there's like everything's tied up in a nice little bow. Like there's still a couple questions, but they're not egging me on like why the fuck did they do that? You know, it's just like, oh, I'm really interested to see what happens next instead of, oh, I can't believe they did that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially when they're, I mean, that's all fine for me if it's going to be back on in like 6 months or a year or whatever, but like when dude doesn't put out a book for however many freaking years it's been, it just becomes infuriating. But yeah, I would, you know, I don't know. I haven't thought about this, that the wall coming down. I guess I would hope that it happens either early or mid season as kind of a huge storyline. It should be getting pretty hot and heavy here. I mean, everything is kind of hopefully coming to a head at some point. Some sort here and should pop off.
So yeah, Cersei is probably the kind of sitting in the Iron Throne right now, head of the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah, not for long. Yeah. I think end of episode one. I want to see the wall come down. I'm just gonna make that bold prediction. End of the episode one of the new season. That wall is coming down like a motherfucker.
I'll take episode. It's 7 episode season, correct?
Yeah, it's not long. It's gonna be ridiculous. It's gonna be a big huge tease for the eventual last season. I bet you
end of episode 5.
Okay. Well, that's the thing, right? They always have that one episode where something like they have a middle episode that always has tons of stuff.
Something always happens. At the end of the episode,
right,
before the giant episode, which is the episode before the season finale.
Right. I'll be honest, like most of the season finales have been pretty like lame, considering
what,
other.
When, which season was that? Was that that sick episode out of nowhere, which didn't even happen in the books? But when they battled the White Walker.
Oh, the Hardhome. Oh, that
yeah,
was.
We had a whole podcast specifically about it, but I mean that episode was so.
Right. That was season.
So
I think that was episode 7 of season 5.
Okay. God.
Yeah, episode 7. Actually, God. Okay, you guys give your Twitter. I'm just going to Google that really quick because now I'm interested. Matt, what's your Twitter?
Find me at RazballMB, _MB.
T-Hole, what's your Twitter, man?
It's just LordBedek1. A lot of people were asking me why it was 1. I mean, it's just LordBedek. That's it now. It was 1. I don't know why. A lot of people were asking me that, and I didn't really have an answer because I don't know how that happened. So it's just back to normal, although it's inactive again today. but I'll be back there, so make sure you bookmark that.
You change your Twitter name more than you make selfies, dog. That's the truth. Oh, okay. So it was season 5, episode 8. So I was one episode off. So, and it has a 9.9 episode rating, which seems really high. Rightfully so.
I think that's probably the best episode ever, in my opinion.
I think the only problem, I think T-Hole and I talked about this, the only problem I have with the episode is that long, drawn-out floating away where they're staring at each other.
I fucking loved it.
So it's just, they're still so close. They're like 10 feet away. It's just like, paddle a little bit. Like, don't just look at him. Paddle that. I mean,
that's,
I don't
know. That's
but yeah, it was cinematic brilliance, I think, with that shot. I'll be honest, I do have my gripes, but we'll talk about them some other time. This is it, I guess. I don't have anything else to talk about. You guys good? I'm good.
Yeah, we're good.
Cool. I just like to thank T-Hole for hanging out. I like to thank Matt here for remaining to sit still during my political diatribes. I know they kind of suck for him, for me to blast out people like that. But actually, I think it sucks for a lot of people. Yeah, if it makes you feel better, I hate doing it too. It's just, yeah, it's just one of those things. And I'd like to thank Zach for getting off my show. I'm kidding. He probably listens. So we all love Zach. He does a great job. I haven't exactly figured out what that job is yet, but he does whatever it is. He does it greatly. That's it. We're out of here. That's the goodbye. That's it. We're done.